Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're jumping into something you deal with constantly online. Responsive website design. You're here because, let's face it, you want to know why some websites work great everywhere, phone, tablet, desktop, and others? Well, not so much.
Exactly.
We've got a great piece by Chris Bradley, Common Challenges in Implementing Responsive Design and How to Overcome Them. Our goal, give you the key takeaways, fast, make you instantly smarter on this.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, think about it. You load a site on your laptop, looks perfect.
Right.
Pull it up on your phone, it magically rearranges itself. No crazy zooming or scrolling. That's responsive design. Yeah. Websites adapting. And with all the devices we use, it's just essential now. So this deep dive, we'll look at the big hurdles developers face making these seamless experiences and, importantly, how they get past them, based on Bradley's article.
Okay, so Chris Bradley points out five main challenges. We're going to unpack them. First one, complex layouts and content organization. Okay, let's think about this. You've got a site crammed with text, pictures, videos. How do you make it all look good and, you know, work well on a giant screen and a tiny phone?
Well, it's really about prioritizing, isn't it? Bradley really stresses content hierarchy. Yeah. You have to figure out what's the absolute must-see info right away, no matter the device.
Like, what's the headline news?
Exactly. Imagine a news site homepage, huge screen, maybe lots of stories, pictures, on a phone. That'd be chaos. So you decide what's most critical. Often that comes from understanding what users do on the site, what they're trying to achieve.
Gotcha. So deciding the front page for every size, he also mentions decluttering. That seems obvious. Less clutter, especially in small screens.
Precisely. Too much stuff on a phone feels cramped, hard to navigate. He also talks about modular components. Think like Legos.
Okay.
Self-contained blocks of content, text, and image, whatever that you can easily shuffle around or resize for different layouts, makes things flexible and easier to update later too.
And flexible grid systems.
Yeah.
That sounds a bit technical. How can we picture that simply?
Okay, imagine an invisible grid, like columns on a page. On a wide screen, your content might stretch across, say, three columns.
Right.
On a narrow screen, those columns might stack up vertically instead. The grid adapts. It's like a digital magazine layout that reflows automatically.
Okay. That makes sense.
And lastly, the mobile-first approach. This is key. You design for the smallest screen first. Focus only on the essentials. Then, you progressively add more features or fancier layout stuff for bigger screens.
So it forces you to be ruthless about what's important.
It really does. So for you, the listener, what this all boils down to is a website that's just easier to use wherever you are, saves time, less frustration.
Totally. Okay, challenge number two, image and media optimization. We've all been there. Tap a link on your phone and then wait.
Oh, yeah.
And wait. Often, it's those big, beautiful images slowing things down, isn't it?
Not exactly. Huge files just kill loading times, especially if you're on a shaky mobile connection. Bradley rightly points out, optimizing media is crucial for, well, a good experience.
So the solutions mentioned are responsive images and lazy loading. How do those work?
Right, responsive images are pretty clever. Instead of sending the same giant image to everyone, the website checks your screen size and resolution and sends a version that fits. Like, you wouldn't use a billboard-sized image on a tiny phone screen, right?
Makes sense.
And lazy loading is another speed trick. Instead of loading all the images on a page right away, it only loads what's currently visible. As you scroll down, the images further down the page load just before you get to them.
Ah, on demand.
On demand. It saves a lot of initial loading time and bandwidth.
And for you listening, this is super relevant. Faster loads mean a smoother browse. No more staring at blank space, especially on the go. It massively affects how you feel about a site.
Definitely. Which brings us to challenge three, navigation and user interactivity. You know, how do you make it easy to find stuff on a complex site using just your thumb on a small screen?
Yeah, that's a big one. Trying to hit tiny links in a packed menu or fill out forms on a phone can be awful. Bradley notes how that limited space affects menus, dropdowns, buttons, forms, everything interactive.
And the core thing here is you can't just shrink a desktop menu. It doesn't work.
Yeah.
So the article talks about simplified navigation. The classic example is the hamburger menu, those three little lines.
Yep, everyone knows that one.
You tap it, the menu slides out, save space, widely understood now.
Right, tucks it away neatly.
Yeah.
The article also mentions collapsible sections and expandable dropdowns, more ways to hide complexity.
Exactly. You show the basics, let the user reveal more detail if they want it. It's about layering information. And then there's the interactivity itself, buttons, forms. They need to be big enough to tap easily. That's optimizing for touch.
And input validation.
Yeah.
Checking forms as you go.
Yeah, super important on mobile where typos are easy. It catches errors before you hit submit. So connecting this back to your experience, it's all about making the site feel intuitive, easy. Less pinching, less zooming, just smooth sailing.
That's perfect sense. Okay, challenge four goes kind of behind the scenes. Performance optimization. We know responsive design aims for a good experience, but it can sometimes slow things down itself, can't it?
That's a really important point, yeah. The very techniques used to make a site adapt, loading different image sizes, different styles, can sometimes add overhead, especially on older phones or slower networks.
So how do developers keep responsive sites speedy? What are the tricks?
Well, the article mentions several key things. Caching is fundamental. Your browser stores bits of websites you visit images code locally.
Right.
Next time you visit, it pulls from that local storage, the cache, instead of downloading everything again. Much faster.
Okay.
Then there's minification. This means stripping out unnecessary stuff from the code extra spaces. Comments developers leave for themselves. Makes the code files smaller.
Like trimming the fat.
Exactly. And compression, often using something called GZIP. It squishes the website files before sending them from the server, like zipping a folder on your computer. Your browser then unzips them. Smaller files travel faster.
These sound technical, but the payoff for the listener is huge. A site that just feels fast, snappy, no waiting around, especially crucial on mobile.
Absolutely. And that brings us to the final challenge, number five, browser compatibility. It's kind of wild how many different web browsers exist, and they don't all play by the exact same rules.
It is. A site might look perfect in Chrome, but then you open it in Firefox or Safari, and whoops, something's broken or looks weird. Bradley notes these subtle differences in how browsers interpret the code.
Right. CSS rendering, HTML interpretation, it can lead to inconsistencies. So how do developers make sure it works for everyone, whatever browser they use?
Testing, I assume. Lots of testing.
Tons of testing. The article stresses testing across many browsers, many devices. It's essential to catch those glitches that only show up in, say, an older version of Edge or on a specific Android phone.
Are there tools to help with that? Sounds like a massive job.
There are. Automated testing tools can show how a site renders in different environments. Also, just sticking to web standards and writing clean, consistent code helps avoid many problems from the start. Using established frameworks can also help manage compatibility.
So all that effort is really about ensuring that for you, the user, the experience is reliable and consistent no matter how you access the site.
Precisely. No nasty surprises.
Okay, let's quickly recap. We've hit the five big challenges from Chris Bradley's article. Complex layouts, optimizing media, smooth navigation and interaction, performance tuning, and browser compatibility. It's clear that making a truly responsive site is complex, but man, it's just non-negotiable today.
Absolutely. And it's worth remembering Chris Bradley, he's the co-founder of Double Dome Digital Marketing. They've been profitable for 24 straight years. So this isn't just theory, it's based on deep practical experience. He knows what works.
Good point. Real world wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
So as you're out there browsing today on your phone, your tablet, whatever, think about these challenges. Notice the sites that just work seamlessly. What makes them feel so good?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe notice the ones that don't. Where you do have to zoom or things look broken. How does that affect your experience? How does it make you feel about that site or brand? That's your food for thought from this deep dive.